Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Oh yeah, and the Kings of War Army was, and the Kings of War event was really cool. The guy who was running it had like his own keg of beer that he made, and it was Belgian Triple, which is my favorite kind. And he was just like pumping it out, just giving out cups. What do you got running over there?
It's a fan. You can turn it off.
I don't know how to turn it off.
Oh, right. That's right. You don't live here.
You could turn it off. I don't know how. No, the King's War was really cool. The guy had the beer, and they were just giving out cups. And I was hanging out with Matt Listener, and he's a really cool guy. And he was just like, "Come here, you gotta get beer." So we were drinking. It was really cool. They had a lot of players. It was weird though this year for the whole like fantasy room was really. It was like a really weird vibe. Because, like, all of the fantasy players were basically, it was, like, cut in three. Because you had the Kings of War players, and I think, I don't know, there was, like, 20, 30 players there. And then there was, like, the Age of Sigmar players who were there, and I don't know how many, there wasn't that many there.
Were they all grooming their very fancy mustaches for their special rules?
Yes, they were grooming their, I didn't even bother, really, to look that much. And then there was the Warhammer 9th edition Ninth Age guys were there, and they had about, like, I don't know, 10 to 20 guys there. Playing that, it was weird. I could feel the tension in the room.
The fractured fantasy community.
There was some tension in the room. I was like, "Ooh, I gotta get out of here before a rumble starts, before some demonettes start get thrown around over here." Yeah. Anyway, welcome to Game Classy. I'm Joe. This is Steve.
Hello.
Say there you go.
Can
we're gonna talk some Adepticon right now. That was the big thing last week.
Adepticon.
Which Steve traveled all the way out to Mount Prospect, did not stop at Adepticon.
Yep.
Even though, well, first of all, let me tell you this. To all the listeners out there who were at Adepticon and said hi to me, hello! It was a great time. Met a ton of people there and a lot of fans of the podcast. So that was really cool.
Well, I mean, maybe if we were in the UK, I'd be more interested in listening to some of the listeners.
Why?
I don't know. Accents.
Matt's from the UK. He had
Fuck!
An accent. Yeah.
I missed out on an accent.
Yeah, you did.
Because I just want to hear people be like, "Oh, I like your show. You know, it's real good."
No, that's what he was like. Right. Well, it was a little deeper. He's like a... The man's like a giant...
I was just trying to pander to James. I'm sorry. The face Joe just made was... Nothing short of orgasmic.
It was
for me. It was
bemusement and disgust at the same time.
I really enjoyed it, and I really liked it. Yeah. It was nice. It made me feel good. Like it actually, I actually just felt good. Yeah. I haven't felt good in a while, but that
brought you back.
Brought me back from the edge.
Brought you back from. No, Matt's like a giant bear of a human being. He's
Matt Lee.
Yeah, Matt Lee. He's like,
he has the sweet Mattel logo for his Facebook.
Like 6 foot something or other, giant beard.
See, now he would intimidate me. I don't know about that.
No, great guy. We hung around on Saturday at a Derpticon. So I don't know where to begin.
I'm just kidding. I'm surprised you met anyone who listened to the podcast, sir.
Oh no, that was a lot.
Is it just people we know?
No, it was like actual like listeners all throughout the events. I guess I could start off with myself getting reamed at Bolt Action this year. I got smoked.
And
it actually wasn't that bad.
You're talking all that trash.
I ended up with a minor victory, a draw, and a major loss.
That sounds like a terrible record.
It was all right.
You're trying to downplay it.
No, it was...
That's a rough record.
Let me tell you this. The first players that we went up against... that we drew against were actual they ran my exact list from last year. Me and Tim's exact list from last year, and I was like, "Holy shit!"
That's awesome.
That was like, and
I was really hoping they would body you.
No, that
would have been the best.
No, it was. Well, you know, I could continue my complaints about the Bolt Action problems with the tournament. As I say every fucking year, but the bigger problem this year was the fact that they fixed a lot of the problem. Like what we were saying last year was like crazy scenarios. Like, oh, there's a cat loose on the battlefield, and whoever can catch this cat gets the cat.
Oh, was that actually a thing?
That was a thing last year.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awful. No, this year it was all the scenarios were really solid. And it was more one-on-one. The biggest problem I had was that the terrain was really wonky this year. So, like, some players played on, like, tables that had really easy terrain to play on. My first table had a river right across the center, and the river was, like, 12 inches wide. It was, and, like...
That's a very big river.
And if you're... It was not 12. It was probably, like, 9 inches. It was a big river. And, The way we were playing is that, you know, it was difficult terrain. You had to go over it, and you could only move at half speed. So and the whole scenario was get across the board. So it was just a big slog fest in the center of the table because no one could get across the river in the amount of time it took you to get it. And it was just a mess. The other scenarios were all fine. I'm going to bring it up real quick because I want to make sure I get their names down because I wanted to make sure I talked to them because they are listeners of the podcast.
The guys who copied your list?
No. Oh. The guys who utterly tabled me.
Yeah.
Third game. Yeah.
Was it Anthony and someone else?
No. It was.
I thought it was Anthony. Nicholas.
It was Anthony. What is Anthony? Yeah. It's. Not, I was thinking Anthony Carroll. No, it's Anthony Pizzera, and I can't remember the other guy's name. Now I can't think of it.
Was it Nick?
May have been. I don't know. But yeah, Anthony. They brought like a rock hard list, and I'm very proud of them. It's not like it's like you get beat by a bad list, you're like, fuck, it was just bad rolling or anything like that. No, they came out and it was just like by turn two, me and Tim were like, well, that's about it, folks.
Did they win the tournament?
No, they didn't actually. I don't even know who won. Who cares who won, but it was
well, I mean, you only care if it's someone you know.
That's yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But we actually lost out on Best Painted too. So the way I look at it is
the daggers. I know. You got wrecked.
I know. Well, we tied. Like there was like a tie for Best Painted, and we ended up. It ended up going to someone else. But the way I look at it is Tim lost us the games, and I lost us the Best Painted. Is the way I look at it. So
your guys' weaknesses did not cover your strengths.
No, we did not cover our strengths at all. No, we're going to come back with a vengeance next year. That's the plan.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to come back with a vengeance.
You're going to paint those swastikas extra sharp on your Germans?
Extra sharp. No, we're going to do
always to the right.
Yes. Never to the left.
Never to the left.
Yes. To quote 1776. Ever to the right, never to the left. I don't that's you never like 1776?
I don't even know what
that
is.
Musical about the Constitution?
Nope. Don't even know what it is. Although everyone's jizzing about the Alexander Hamilton musical.
Yeah.
I like heard the first song and it's rap, I guess.
It's like hip hoppy.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's really, really good. I mean, you don't like rap, so why would you care?
Yeah.
Or you don't like hip hop music, or you don't like music.
Right.
Yeah.
All of those things are true.
Yeah. And you don't like early American politics.
No.
Or
also true.
Or bank.
I don't like America.
You like dueling though.
I do like dueling.
And there's dueling.
Hamilton did duel.
Yeah.
Not as much as Jackson. Jackson was, I think, categorically insane.
Yeah.
I think he was actually an insane person.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just reading up on good old Andrew Jackson the other day.
Jackson's was a fucking nutto, dude. Yeah. He was crazy.
Yeah.
I'm interested in big personalities, though. So if they happen to, you know, a lot of times they fall in
history. Hamilton's a big personality.
That is true.
I'm actually reading his biography right now. So it's pretty good. I quite enjoy it. He had the first American sex scandal.
Ooh.
Yes. I guess
Ben Franklin was totally, it was totally okay for him banging all those hookers.
Yeah, well, Ben Franklin, it doesn't matter. Because
he's Ben Franklin.
He's
just
Ben
like,
Franklin.
You can't touch him. He's as untouchable now as he was then.
He was, you know, he had gout and he went to France and had sex with a bunch of French ladies. It was okay. It was great.
I think he had sex with any woman who said, like, actually, I think he just had sex with every possible woman he could. Like, literally everyone he could.
Why not?
And drank a fuck ton of beer.
And the man invented electricity. Why not?
He invented it.
Yeah.
He did. He did. Yeah, that's right. Electricity is an American invention.
He invented electricity, bifocals.
And flying kites.
And flying kites and potbelly stoves. He also invented those. Yeah, there you go right
and
there.
And chopping wood.
And No, that was Abraham Lincoln invented the chopping wood.
No, it was Benjamin Franklin. He gave it to Lincoln.
Oh, okay. That's how it worked. Yeah. 60 years after his death.
Yep. He passed it forward. When Lincoln sat down in the Oval Office, he found a little note that said to Abe. And he's like, who would ruin this? And he's like, how could Franklin have known?
Chopping wood with an axe.
Yeah. See?
Splitting rails.
Wait a second. Wait. Pot-bellied stove? Pot? Stove? Stovepipe hat? Illuminati confirmed.
Yes. Illuminati.
I really like that you lost at Bolt Action. It makes me really happy.
I lose.
You were talking all sorts of smack.
I always talk smack. What can I say?
It was good.
Yeah. No, that list we played, the third list. No, the second game, we could have had like a major victory, but Tim fucked it up. I'm not going to lie. Tim doesn't listen to his podcast. I'm just going to say he outright did
your partner right under the bus.
He did not listen to me. He made a Bush League move. And I told him, I said, don't make that move. It's a Bush League move.
It's Bush League, man.
And he totally didn't make the move that he needed to make. And it cost us a major victory. We got a minor victory. So whatever. It was kind of, as I say, Bush League.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, with degrees of victory scoring, if you get two major victories and a loss, you can like win the whole tournament because, as we've discussed before, you know, the tournament scoring structure is all
cocked up. I honestly don't think that tournament, that Bolt Action tournament, actually had like any sort of like real scoring.
They just made it up as they went along.
I think they were like, I like this guy. These guys are playing. I think they based it all off like player scores.
Do they still do the stupid shit where it's like it has to be Axis versus Allies on each table?
No, they didn't this year, which is part of the things that I liked.
That's good.
Because I was expecting just to play against Axis players, and I was like, our list is going to fucking dominate. And then the first two players, like, then the second player we play against is you as another U.S. Army, and we're like, what?
Nice, okay. Nice. Didn't you say the Americans are OP, or is it the
Americans and British are both OP? I mean, they're not. It's not terrible. The way that the meta has kind of shifted, it's kind of like people are now, if they're playing in tournament, they play like optimal lists, so it kind of negates OP.
Hey, we got to play the optimal load.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if you're playing in a pickup game, like just like a friendly, and like you just write up your list with whatever you got, US is going to dominate every time.
Yeah. So they're OP.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, but if you're playing against a guy who knows how to play the German list, you can bring like an average and a top tier US list, and probably the Germans would beat it.
Okay.
But that German list is super specific.
Okay.
All right, so enough of that bullshit. Store was really cool this year. Huge. It was huge.
Huge win.
Huge win. The Arena Rex guys were there. Got to talk to all of them, and they were, like, super friendly. Like, they really love this podcast.
Like, I really want to... I am going to Adepticon next year. I now have a completed army, so the thing that was keeping me away from Adepticon is no longer a viable excuse. I have a completed Kings of War army, and I'm going to endeavor to also complete my Arena Rex forces, Mercs, and... Ooh, is that Superman?
No, it's just like a hunting horn.
Oh, I thought it was... Say what you will. I don't like those movies very much, but that is an excellent Superman theme song.
It's a fantastic one. Yeah. Anyway.
So... I no longer have an excuse. There's no buffer. I have to be there. I have a completed army for something, but I'm going to try and finish other stuff because I want to play some Arena Rex. I want to play some Dark Age. I want to play some Wrath of Kings, and I want to play some Kings of War. Like, it's going to fucking happen. Like, I want to do all of the things.
Well, this year, like, Arena Rex didn't have any events.
Okay.
And so, but that's like, however, I was talking with the guys, that store was just jam-packed and sold out, like, every day.
Yeah.
It's going to probably be the next big game in the Chicagoland area.
Good.
Just because of how many... Like, they were selling the starter sets, those three-pack starter sets, like hotcakes. Like hotcakes, Jerry. Hotcakes.
Good.
Yeah, they are... They're fucking fantastic guys, too. Like, I was buying a figure, and they were like, oh, you don't have to... I'm like, no. Take my money. Take my money.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I really want to get that stuff built. That's the next thing I'm going to be working on, Wrath of Kings and Arena Rex right now. Because like,
oh, but what about the big news?
Which big news?
The big news that I got from Ronnie.
Oh, God.
All right, so I might be the first person breaking this, probably
are
not.
Are you allowed to?
Ronnie sat there and told me.
Oh, okay.
pretty much in a, they said probably by the end of this year, maybe next year, next Kings of War Kickstarter, 10 millimeter Kings of War. So they're going to do a War Master scale.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous. I'm so excited about it.
You have no idea how ridiculously excited I am about it.
The thing that's sweet is, in addition to being able to play with the best rule system ever conceived, War Master, you can also play Kings of War, because Kings of War actually just scales down.
Well, that's
perfectly.
That's what he was saying. He says it's just basically the rule book for it would just be a bigger version of Kings of War
with centimeters.
Yeah, with I don't know.
You could do half inches too. It doesn't fucking matter.
He didn't even say, but I mean, it was like. It would essentially be King's War, but just, like, on a grander scale.
It's really exciting. Plus, I like, because, like, this table I have, this much smaller table, this is a completely acceptable size table for a 10mm war game.
Yeah, like, it really is.
Totally is. Like,
this table is really small. I feel really, like... Yeah, like close to you. I don't know if I like.
I really like it. Like I thought it was super small. It's super small compared to the last table.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last table I had was like gigantic. I'd like a table a little bit bigger than this, but I've been growing on this one a lot.
Yeah. I mean, so he was saying that, you know, they're basically just because all the Kings of War sculpts are done digitally, that they're just going to take the same files and just scale them down.
Okay.
To the 10 mil size and just do it that way.
Oh, they're just gonna be the Kings of War models at 10 millimeter?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like, I'm sure they're gonna be a little different just because, you know, you're not gonna be able to have the arms in a specific
way.
You know, they'll probably do it in whatever ways they're gonna do it. But
now,
I mean,
the question is do I just get an undead army at 10 millimeter?
I mean, man, it's just like, I have so many 10 millimeter figures at home as is, but it's just like, oh. That Kickstarter will be sweet. Plastic 10 millimeter.
I'll probably do orcs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, orcs would probably be really cool, and you could combine them. You know, I could combine them at least with, like, the Warmaster stuff and just
fill out anything I need. Obviously. I mean, I love 10 millimeter is my favorite scale. Like, not close. It's my favorite scale. Everything about it is just, like, exciting to me. Like, the way it looks on the table, the terrain, because the terrain, like, feels right. Like, even when it's appropriately, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but for me, like, when I'm playing a 28 mil game, a lot of times I'm playing, like, Warhammer, specifically Warhammer, a block game, there'll be, like, a castle or, like, a building or something, and it's the right scale, but while you're moving your figures around, it just feels wrong.
Eh.
You look over it and you're like, eh. Like, buildings are really weird in 28 mil to me, but, like, you know, trees and stuff, that's
well,
fine.
Well, in block combat games like that, you don't want a lot of terrain, because
right.
It fucks up the game really bad.
But in Warmaster, like, you can do a lot of terrain.
I mean, you have one tree stand in the center of the table.
It fucks up the whole game.
You're just like, well, fuck this.
Oh, he's playing Beastman. I'm going to fucking lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So, like, you have to have your castle, but it's in the corner.
Yeah, it's like decorating the table rather than...
Yeah, it's just decorating,
But, like, the terrain was always cool in Warmaster, because you could do, like, the moving formations where you're, like, going
like
around buildings,
stuff,
snaking. Yeah, it's really fucking cool. So, yeah, I love everything about 10 millimeter. I love the buildings, the terrain. Like, I'm super fucking stoked about it.
Yeah.
I really, really, man.
I'm very excited to see this Kickstarter. I'm going to save some ducats for it.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, my hobby, like, the thing that's nice is... one thing that's nice about having the fact that I spent so much fucking money on models that have been sitting in my closet is that I don't need to spend money on models, because I have so many fucking models. It's just like, I got everything.
What are you talking about?
You know, there's a thing where if you have, like, a huge amount of unfinished tasks, you shouldn't add more stuff to the tasks.
It's
a new concept I'm working with.
I'm not quite sure what you're talking about.
It's a new concept I'm working with where you finish all of the things you own before you buy something new.
Okay, I remember who I was talking to. It was someone I was hanging out with at Adepticon, and we were talking about, like, I was saying, like, oh yeah, I got a ton of that stuff. I got, like, 6 totes worth, and they were like, You really do have a problem, don't you? I'm like, I do.
You have a problem.
I have an insane problem. It's not nice at all. That was, like, the thing that I was just like, oh.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. And I said, I will be there. I want to meet everyone. I want to meet all the listeners. I want to see you. I want to see your game. I'm going to talk shit about it.
Well, what I would like to do,
even if you're playing Kings of War, I'm still going to talk shit about it.
What I would like to do is I would really like us to do, like, a small event just for listeners who want to come. Because, I mean, like, I think I talked to, like, 8 or 9 people who listen to the podcast.
Like a special classy event for classyites only.
But, I mean, but nothing like ridiculous, like a tournament. Like, I don't like like
that sounds boring.
Exactly.
There's a bunch of tournaments that they can already do.
I know, but I would like to have something where they could kind of interact with it. Like maybe like we run an RPG or something, like a one-off RPG where you just DM, you know, and I could play in it and do whatever. But with something like that where we can have like six or seven people playing at the same time.
Okay.
And we could have something going on with that.
All right. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, or just like a hangout. So like maybe if only like four or five people want to play and some people just want to hang around in the back and whatever, we could record it, put it on the internet, so whatever.
All right,
I think we could do something like that and have fun.
Or
with
we
it.
Could just have like a Q&A.
No, that'd be dumb.
Dude, no way. They have burning questions that they can't just write to us on Facebook and ask.
Every one of those questions is usually about dicks.
Well, we need to give them all the answers.
All the dick answers.
Yes, all of the answers about dicks.
Yeah.
Are they big dicks? Are they small dicks?
Oh, Drop Zone Commander. They had all
I saw Cliff was playing games of it, so it is a thing. People do play that game.
Oh yeah, there was a small group. I think there was probably like 10 to 12 people playing. They had the tournament out there that was in the main hall. Really nice stuff. The terrain looked great on it.
Luckily, you know what? I can put that off now because there's going to be the Kings of War stuff at the small scale.
And the what was it? They had the they had the drop ship commander stuff.
Drop fleet
commander or whatever.
That one ship. One of the listeners put it on the Facebook. There's that one ship that's painted black. It is the most like boner. My boner was like so engorged seeing it. One of the most beautiful spaceship miniatures I've ever seen, and like it makes the rest of the range look so bad in comparison. And the rest of the range really isn't bad.
No,
but this ship was ridiculous.
I actually sort of regret not backing it. I don't regret it because I don't need more stuff. But
I think you really do. You need a spaceship game.
Well, Dave bought into it, so he's getting that stuff in. Okay. So I'll at least get to play a little.
The max?
Bit. Yeah. Okay. The maxes. Got it. But they had the stuff.
Speaking of which, do they do the hobby night anymore?
Yeah, most of the time though we usually play at the LGS. So that kind of has taken the place, but I'm sure he'll do one sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I wanna come out to the next one.
But he seeing the models in person though, you're like, fuck, those are really nice. And the Arena Rex guys, they actually had the case out there with all of like the professionally painted stuff in there, and you're looking at it, you're just like, God damn.
Oh, dude, that Medusa? Fuck. That translucency effect.
That was the one model that I wanted to really get, and they were sold out of it every
of course.
Day. Yeah.
The model's amazing. Yeah. The sculpting on it's ridiculous. The ability to put a paint job on it's ridiculous. Speaking of paint jobs, how about that crystal brush?
We'll talk about that. we're going to get to the crystal brush.
Yeah, I want to meet the listeners. I want to, you know, I want to do something. I'm definitely going to Adepticon. Like, that's happening. Next year, it's happening. Kings of War said I'm going to do as many events as I can. I want to fucking play some fucking miniatures games. It's been too long. I've been, like, passively...
You're on the upswing.
I've been passively in the hobby. Like, I've been doing, like, some miniatures projects here and there. Like, I painted a Wrath of Kings army. Not mine, but I painted one. I painted a full Vampire Counts army. Not mine, but I painted it. I've been doing a lot of work for other people. So now that I'm finally able to do some work for my own, for my stuff, like, I'm really happy that I finished this Undead army has been 2 years in the fucking making. And it's like, I got them to the point where they were so close to being finished in like a very short period of time. And then I just shelved them and they just sat there super close to being done for a year, like more than a year. Just like all they needed was basing. And that was it. And it just sat. Yeah. Just sat. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Now I'm finally done with them. It's like fucking like 240 models.
I've often found that basing is like my crux. Like I just my cross. I can't do it. Like I just so I've started on all my new armies. The basing is like the first thing that's done after the base coat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just get it out of the fucking way because I don't want to do it later.
I think I'm gonna do that for my. My Wrath of Kings. I'm thinking of just doing up the basing and like all the fanciness on the bases first and then do the models because I have a plan. We'll see if it works out.
Yeah. But yeah, I told the arena, when I was talking to the Arena Rex guys, I basically told them, I said, you need to run a tournament next year.
Oh, yeah.
Because you need to come up with like a tournament structure so that, you know, because the Chicago will be playing this game. Chicagoland will be playing this game.
I think it's brilliant. Like I love it. I've read the rules like three times. I'm so the dynamics of that game, just like the way it feels, the game feel is exactly what you want.
Well, the I was talking with one guy who's he's a pretty big Chicagoland gamer. I talked with him before, and I was talking with him about Arena Rex, and he was like, I really like it. You don't need terrain. I'm like, yeah, you don't need anything. Yeah. You just need your models.
Yeah, and they have a really nice playmat with the arena on it.
Yeah.
Very cool. And it's the trap, the pitfalls and stuff. The best thing about it, too, is like I see these people starting to get into Guild Ball, and I'm just like, dude, have you not seen Arena Rex? Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I don't understand Guild Ball. People really like Guild Ball, but I don't
They're
understand.
Really into it.
Really into it.
I don't know. It's a fantasy sports ball game. I'm out.
Yeah. The... Like, who else was there? Super Dungeon, not Super Dungeon Explorer. But Soda Pop was there. Got to talk with those guys. Of course, they're running that new one.
To Vendor Badge.
Vendor Badge, I did not see there. Oh. So I didn't see most of the regular crew. So I think
I
that they
missed the Vendor Badge.
They're running that Rail Wars Kickstarter now. The Chibi Western.
Oh right.
Yeah, sci-fi Western game.
Yeah. Pew pew pew.
Pew pew pew. And that we'll get into later. Not that game in particular, but...
How about Wild West Exodus? Do you see a sweet tournament for that?
No. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too. Like the other segment. And then, So, the other thing on top... You know, I saw all the tournaments and everything like that. Everything's always, like... It's cool to go see the tournaments there, just because everyone paints their crap, and it's maybe not all great painted, but to see... tables and tables of painted figures is just really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better ones I saw was the people who did the Batman game. You know, the nigh incomprehensible ruled Batman game?
Yes.
They had this fantastic table, like Gotham City style, with all the figures like nicely painted out there. And I'm like, why are you guys wasting your fucking time? I'm like, how do you even understand these damn rules? I've tried. It makes no sense.
I don't know. They just wanted to play with Batman toys. They didn't want to be like, you know, playing HeroClix.
Exactly. It's like, we have to grid this out. No, it was like really fucking, like, they had, I guess there's this company that makes these skyscrapers, like terrain model skyscrapers that have plexiglass on the inside and a light so that you light it up and it looks like the skyscraper's lit up.
Damn.
And it's really cool looking.
That's pretty legit. Yeah.
But then, of course, we have the Crystal Brush. People are butthurt about the Crystal Brush this year. And I'm just wondering why it's taken people this long to kind of realize that the Crystal Brush is kind of... Well, all miniature painting competitions are kind of a sham. Not really, but I mean... So, I guess the big thing this year...
It's... All right, so I'm just going to... I'll throw out... It is a competition based on subjective values.
Yes. My big problem with Crystal Brush is kind of that...
Very difficult to call it a competition.
Yeah. Well, that too. But my bigger issue with Crystal Brush is that it's fan voting. So, like, people... And this is the what happened with the Wapples, that when you're at a games day, it's like a beautifully painted Tomb King's army versus a pretty great painted Dark Elf army, Dark Eldar army. Like, fantastic paint job? Good paint job. Really good. But what is all the fan people going to pick?
Deldar. Dark Eldar. It's 40K.
Because it's 40K.
Kevin lost a... his army didn't even go to the Armies on Parade. Because he painted a 40K Eldar army, and the store he brought his Armies on Parade to was a fantasy-leaning store. So they're just like, they all voted for the fantasy army, which was a Tomb Kings army, which looked... I'm not going to shit on the army. It looked nice. It was just dry brush and inked, but it was done well. So it looked nice, like very crisp on the tabletop. Like it was a good looking army, but like I saw Kevin's army and I saw that army and like compared in comparison, the army's dog shit in comparison.
Yeah.
But people were just like, I'm voting for this. One guy didn't vote for it. Because he didn't like Eldar. He's like, I don't like Eldar.
I mean, that's, and that's the problem when you have fan voting. That's my first issue with it. My second issue is that it's not a painting competition so much as it is a sculpting competition nowadays.
It's both.
Yes, it is.
It's both. You can't paint like crap or sculpt like crap. You have to do both very well.
Yes.
But you must have sculpting.
You must have sculpting.
Yes, like, absolutely.
And the model almost has to be completely hand sculpted.
I think let me think. this year was a scratch sculpt. The year before was a scratch sculpt. The year before was a scratch sculpt. The year before that, I think, was also a scratch sculpt.
Yeah.
So at least 4 years that I can remember off the top of my head were all scratch sculpt.
Grand winners. Yeah. And that's... So is this a miniature painting competition or is this a sculpting competition?
Like I said on the Facebook page, the competition is twofold. One, okay, you are, as a competitor, you need to do two things. One, you need to sculpt your model.
Yep.
Have someone sculpt your model or say you sculpted
well,
it.
Well, and that's,
whatever.
That's the other thing, too, on top of that. Continue with your
whatever
thought.
The case is. And two, you need to paint. You need to use flashy techniques that are going to appeal to the internet demographic. So the challenge is not appealing to judges as much as appealing to the internet.
Yeah.
So what's going to get their attention? Well, it needs to look really cool, or specifically like someone like the Daniel Craig Space Marine. Great looking model. It's a very good looking model. Very good paint job. But that model is super eye catching because you look at it and you're like, that's Daniel Craig.
That's Daniel Craig.
So like immediately,
and he's a Space Marine.
Right. And you're like, oh, and he's a Space Marine. That's fucking cool. Like that is so fucking cool. So if you do something like that, that is a perfect pandering.
I thought that was one of the stupidest looking models on the planet.
It's a perfect pandering model though. Like I said, that model was made to game the system. So that's the competition. The competition is not actually doing a model to the best of your abilities. It's trying to win the competition. So are you there to paint better or are you there to win? It's just like any other tournament.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that was the question that people brought up, was that I think one of the winners didn't sculpt his model. Like, someone sculpted it for him and he painted it.
Right, so put him in a separate category or something? Co-op, I think, something like that?
Yeah, I don't know the exact thing. But it's like, at what line do we draw here? I mean, it's... Like, if Tim Lyson sculpted me a model and I painted that model and I did a good job on it, I mean, like, is it the paint job or is it the sculpting that's going
to
win?
I think it's also dubious to put it in a separate category, because that means that anyone who painted a model that they didn't sculpt themselves should also be in, like, the co-op category, because their model was sculpted by Jess Goodwin or, you know, one of the Perrys.
But that's why I honestly think that your own sculpted models, if it's... let's say if it's over 25% scratch built on the model. I'm not talking terrain or anything like that. I'm saying model itself that you entered into the competition. If it's over 25% scratch built, that needs to go into like an open category. Mm. Like, there needs to be stock competition. Now, I often, you know, the Reaper painting competition at Gen Con is kind of scrubby in comparison to the Chris
I'd say Brush, super scrubby
in comparison. But the cool thing about that one is that miniatures manufacturers give prizes for that one. So Soda Pop, Reaper, Dark Heaven, all of those modeling companies, they actually give out certain prizes, so that if you paint one of their models, they will get, and it's the best one, like let's say it's the best Soda Pop model, they will give you Soda Pop prizes for painting the best one of their models.
Which is cool.
Which is awesome, because that gives you incentive to paint their stock models. I mean, do something cool with them, but it's the stock model. You're not doing anything, you know, outside the normal.
But I mean, when you're talking Kuhlman, you're not. They want to drive traffic to their website.
Yeah. So
they're the one putting up all the money for the competition.
Yeah.
And it's 10 G's.
It is.
It's huge. A lot of fucking money. It's a huge prize.
Huge.
So, yeah, huge prize. You know, I think... they're well within their rights to run the competition how they see fit, and how they see fit is in baseline internet popularity contest. So you can be butthurt about it.
Can I paint a PewDiePie model?
Good luck. Those are all sold out. They're pre-sold out. This Kickstarter made a bajillion dollars.
It's a big... I just put a turd on like a plinth and I write PewDiePie.
Put a little YouTube sticker on it.
Yeah, a YouTube sticker on it. YouTube red.
Yes, there you go. Red.
Were you also confused in thinking that YouTube Red was a porn thing? Because I thought it was a porn thing.
No, I already knew about RedTube.
Oh, okay.
That's a totally...
Well, that's what I was like. I was like, is YouTube doing
Did
porn
they buy now? RedTube?
Oh, that's what I thought. I was like, oh man, this is really smart on YouTube's part. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's just an internet popularity contest. So that's the challenge. And you can be butthurt about that as a painter, or you can rise to the challenge, or don't enter into the competition.
Well, when you got people flying in from Spain and France,
right? Because they're trying to shark the fucking competition.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to roll, fucking roll. If you can't, then don't. And it sucks. Like, I'd like to be able to enter a painting competition, but you know what? I don't have those hobby skills.
No.
I can't sculpt. I can paint okay. Like, beyond that, fuck, I can't do that good of a job. Like, I don't know. My blending is like, I can't even blend. So like,
do you even blend?
No, I don't. So like, I have no sculpting skills and I can't blend. I'm out.
I'm out.
You know, and I don't care if you're the best painter, if you're the best technical painter, doesn't matter if you can't sculpt, because that's part of the
competition. Yeah, if you
whether
can't
or not
sculpt,
they want to admit it, it's part of the competition, because it makes your model eye catching and people are like, oh, that thing looks cool.
Well, that's what I always like. You know, Tim, he used to basically be the golden demon. He was the guy that was like the be all end all when it came to that judging. And I would give him shit all the time about it, because I'd be like, so you're actually going to pick a GW model? Or are you? He's like, why would I?
Well, yeah, didn't he always say that like the models that were sculpted always happened to also be the best painted?
Yeah, that's what he always said. Yeah, so.
I mean, I've seen a lot of the Slayer Sword winners, like they definitely look sick and they looked like,
I don't know, that guy,
better.
The guy who always won Atlanta.
Mine is Hotlanta.
Yeah, the guy who always won Atlanta was a mess.
We all know Atlanta was a gimme, no matter what you entered. Do you remember when we had the plan that we were going to sweep the Atlanta Golden Demon? We were going to all enter in Lord of the Rings?
Yes. Yes. And then,
wouldn't have been worth the trip to Atlanta,
no,
though.
No. They have a very nice convention center, though.
Yeah, but it's so hot.
Oh, Lord, it's so hot down here in Atlanta.
This flower is Wilton.
My style.
Yeah, too much for me.
I do have the vapors.
I've smelled your vapors. I'm getting out of here.
So yeah, that was and the crystal bread. It's cool. I mean, it's nice to look at the models. And there was some really good stuff there this year.
I actually did think the second place model was cooler than the first place.
I didn't even pay that much attention to
it. The first place model was like they were on a book, and like it was two people like kind of embracing kind of thing. It looked cool. The other model was from Warcraft, and it was
the big orc.
Yeah, he was fucking on his throne.
Yeah, that's a great
I thought
one.
He looked sick. And I really do believe that he did not win because he didn't sculpt the model. Because that was the model that one dude sculpted and the other dude painted. And the winning model was painted and sculpted by the same person.
Okay, so that was the thing.
I mean, they didn't outright say it, but I really think because he admitted that the other person sculpted the model, which I think he just shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
Like, if you have someone else sculpt your model, if they're not going to give you shit, just say you did it.
Yeah.
Split the prize money with them. You know, no one's the wiser.
Well, remember when someone got busted for Golden Demon for like entering someone that someone else painted, though?
Yes, but that was the Russian Golden Demon factory. There was that for a little while. There was I think there was two guys who were entering Russian painted models into the Golden Demon. I don't know how they got caught. The Russian painter must have said something.
He's like, no, that's my model.
Well, yeah, it must have been something like, I'm thinking.
And they're doing like the Russian step, like to the Golden Demon stage.
Well, I think it was, it probably was a commission job. And the painter didn't know that this guy was going to enter into a competition. So he probably pointed out like, he didn't paint that.
Yeah.
That's my guess. You know, either that or like some lady named Natalia, who some dude had been whipping into painting a model all year, finally got sick of it. It was like, no, you didn't paint this model. I painted this model.
No, that's why the Russians always went to Golden Demon, so that they could steal all the toilet paper from the bathrooms at the convention center to send home to Mother Russia.
Mm. Yes. Toilet paper for the motherland?
Toilet paper and American blue jeans.
Yes, your Yankee blue jeans. Yankee blue jeans.
Yes, exactly.
Very good.
All right, so do I have anything? Oh, well, Fantasy Flight had a big presence.
For a sex wing?
Yeah. A sex wing?
Yeah, nice. Sex wing. Yeah,
I like it.
You like it?
I like it. I like X Wing. Yeah. No, there was the tournament for X Wing was gigantic.
Obviously,
it was the second biggest. It had to have been the second biggest tournament there outside of 40K.
It's probably only smaller than the 40K team tournament.
Well, I mean, like the 40K, all of the 40K tournaments are relatively huge.
I would be surprised if the singles 40K tournament outstripped the size of the singles K. Sex-wing tournament. I didn't look at the numbers, but I would be surprised.
But Fantasy Flight had their own like separate room of the convention hall.
It's the most popular miniatures game there is. Makes sense.
I mean, it may have been better than Wurma Hordes. It may have been.
Probably.
But that, I mean, they were playing everything. They had Imperial Assault, Sex-wing, what's the other one? The Armada?
Armada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had all that.
That's the most interesting of those games to me.
Yeah, I still can't wrap my head around it.
I wouldn't play because it's Star Wars, but that automatically discounts me. Like, the first thing, it's Star Wars, I'm out.
Well, my big issue with it is that I don't see where it's going.
They're going to make more toys?
That's where it's going? But I mean, like, overall, it's like, Star Wars does not have a deep IP, like, for, like, spaceships. Like, they have some cool ships, And they have a decent amount of them, but they're not like, it's not like a deep bench. Like, eventually they just hit a wall.
For the big ships? Yeah. Yeah. No. I don't know. Like,
even the small ships, they don't have a deep bench.
They've got a lot. Like, there's a lot more small ships than there are for
big ships. And especially now that Rogue One or Rouge One, because people can't spell.
Yes, I saw that Rouge One is trending. I thought that's great.
Rouge One is trending.
Yeah. I don't know. They could just keep it's Star Wars. They could just make up boopity boppies. And it's like, oh, it's a.
No. You can't do that anymore. Expanded universe bullshit, man. Can't do that shit.
It's a B-Wing Dash 33. Just like there are two X-Wing models. They're the same X-Wing model, but one's blue and one's red.
I know.
And there's a TIE fighter. There's two TIE fighters. They're the same model. One has like a green stripe. The other does not.
Well, that's more about like selling the cards and like the rule set with it as opposed to.
But still, yeah. They can easily do, like, every ship can be infinite ships by just palette swapping.
Yeah. I
if you think I'm wrong, you're wrong.
I'll admit, you know. What do you think of the Rouge One trailer?
I mean, it looks fine.
It looks cool. I think it looked pretty cool. It's got Donnie, it's got Ip Man in it.
I mean, it looks fine. Like,
I'm really pandering to the Chinese on this one.
it's more, I mean, I'm sure it'll be more interesting than The Force Awakens. And there's no Kylo Ren, so I'll be really excited about that.
I don't know about that.
If they work Kylo Ren in this movie, I'm going to murder J.J. Abrams. I will actually hunt him down. This is an actual threat.
I know you hate Kylo Ren, but women love him.
No, and you also some fucking prepubescent boys. Prepubescent boys love Kylo Ren.
You know what, Steve? Just admit it. Everyone loves Kylo Ren but you. And you're okay with that because you get to stand against the wailing winds.
I don't think everyone loves Kylo Ren but me. I think prepubescent boys and women like him because they think he's hot. Which is really weird because that
women
guy's the funniest looking guy.
Love Adam Driver.
He's the funniest looking dude ever.
I am Kylo Ren neutral. I'm like a Kylo Ren agnostic. I'm just kind of like, he's okay.
Like the other characters were at least fun.
Yeah.
They were all nonsensical. None of the characters in the movie.
It's a Star Wars movie.
No character made sense. Not even the pre-existing characters made sense.
What about Poe Dameron?
Poe Dameron made the least sense. Like, maybe the least sense.
He's
the best. Why is he the best? I don't know. How did he escape from the thing? I don't know. He did. Why are him and Finn really, really good friends now? I don't know.
The Force.
They like each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the threads of that movie are woven very loosely.
Yeah. Just take me on that roller coaster ride, man. Just...
Is that like it has fun,
yeah.
But there are people like the thing that pisses me off is people give that movie so much more credit than it deserves because it's got fun factor. And if you're purely judging it based on entertainment, you got me. Like you got me. I can't shit on it for that. It was an entertaining movie.
Does it got spectacle? Yes. Does it have heart?
A little bit.
And does it have humor? It had the humor.
It had the humor.
That's all that matters. Those three things in a movie. That's what I'm looking for.
If that's what you're looking for, I can't touch you.
In a blockbuster. That's what I'm looking for.
That's what you're looking for? I can't touch you. But like everywhere else, but people like vehemently defend like things that like, you like, come on, you're stretching. Like, give me a fucking break. Like, slow it down. Okay. I know you liked it. I know you're really excited because it's a good Star Wars movie. And it hasn't happened in a long time. So
and it looks like we're going to get two in a
slow
row.
It down. Well, the subject matter of Rouge One is far more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, there better be some graphic both in violence.
Bothan on Bothan violence.
I'll take Bothan on Bothan pornography as well. I don't even know what Bothans look like.
Bothan Bothan?
Bothan Bothans.
Wouldn't it be funny if like Bothans came up and they were like really, really racist looking and you're just like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this.
Oh, man, they left too much Lucas in this movie.
Way too much Lucas here. What if all the Bothans look like George Lucas?
Lucas is voting for Trump.
Probably, yeah.
He's going to show them what the trade agreements really mean.
Do you think when Lucas walks around, he's just like...
I think Lucas is... Yeah, absolutely. I think Lucas is off his fucking rocker insane. They're friends. Just a fucking maniac.
All right. Let's so we're done with Adepticon wrap up.
Adepticon.
I have one.
I'll be there next year. I promise.
So I texted you this a little while ago. I don't know if you had to think about this, but I was thinking about games that we vehemently hate. Not just like let's say Age of Sigmar. Age of Sigmar is kind of like where we.
I can't vehemently hate Age of Sigmar. I think there's a lot of things that it does well.
Yeah, it's like that's with most games. It's like. I can't really hate this game. I just like certain games are just like it's so like in your periphery, like in the rearview mirror that you just like I just don't care about that.
Right.
I can't. But games that we vehemently just, it just like every time you see something from that game, you're just like,
you just get mad.
Fuck that game.
What about you? You first.
Okay. So the one thing, and this is the reason why I brought up, is I fucking hate Wild West Exodus. I hate everything about Wild West Exodus. Every time I see something Wild West Exodus, I just get so angry. Let me just go through it. The rules are stupid. The models are racist, and they have tiny, tiny heads and poor sculpting. It's just like the fan base. It's just like I hate Western stuff to begin with. Like most Western, and especially you combine it with sci-fi Western with like the contrite thing of like, the South kind of won this war, so the North and the South are still kind of at war. And it's just like, it just drives me absolutely up the wall. It's so overused and drives me nuts.
I mean, plus the Weird West has already been done perfectly with Deadlands.
Yeah. Well, Deadlands is kind of cool. And it was...
Well, that's what I said. Yeah. The Weird West is done perfectly with Deadlands. Like, yeah, you're done. Like, yeah, there doesn't need to be an alternate... Because it's the same... Like, there's so much...
This one uses cards, though. Dude,
there's so much of Deadlands lore that's, like, Wild West Exodus is ripped off. Like, yeah, like they use an alternate energy source. The Native Americans have mystic powers.
Is it Tesla-powered? Like,
dude, I don't know. I also... Yeah. I join you in the sentiment of... but I'm not going to pick it. I can't, it's not one of my picks.
What's one of your picks?
But I do like that you have like an all around, like the game, like every part of the game is offensive. Yeah. The fan base.
The
like,
fan base is pretty terrible as well. I also hate the fact that everyone uses like O scale terrain from train sets. And it's like they don't even make it look good. It's still all plasticky. And like even when they do fix it up, I'm just like,
just the worst.
They put neon signs on it. Just ugh.
All right. For me, it's still gotta be my old standby, Malifaux.
Yeah.
I just fucking hate Malifaux. Like, I hate it, dude. Like, it just fucking infuriates me. And it's almost entirely because the models don't make any goddamn sense. They're just a mishmash of some dude, like, writing down ideas and going, like, we're gonna put that together. And, like, there's... It's like a poorly done version of Rifts. Like, the way Rifts is presented, it's like punk rock, like heavy metal, like 80s. It's like 80s cool. Like, it's like the Rifts is dated as shit now, but it's still 80s cool. Like, it's still got retro 80s cool, and it's done like that. Malifaux is like a bad version of it. It's like, this is a big teddy bear because he's a nightmare monster and he's fighting a goblin and there's also a zombie. And it's like they threw in everything and the kitchen sink. Unfortunately, they took a shit in the sink before they threw it in. So like that really just really irks me. And like the rules, they seem fine. They seem like a ripoff of War Machine and Hordes. So, okay, great. Like, I don't care. Like, the rules don't offend me, but the models just... And, like, some of the sculpts aren't bad. Like, they had one... they had, like, Chinese rail... Chinese railway workers.
Yeah.
Because that's fucking sensical. Like, but they look cool.
Oh, but they're mystical. They have ancient Chinese secrets.
Yeah, and there's also zombies. And then there's also, like, Victorian ladies of the dead. Like, the fuck?
I just... That's one...
But you know why it looks like that? Because Weird was making miniatures way back.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird was just making weird ass models because their name was Weird, so they just made things. And like, I guess their fan base who were buying their Weird models, which as standalone models, just models, like most of them look fine. Like, there's nothing really offensive about like a little goblin with like a steampunk hat. Like, sure, cool, whatever. Or one with like a blunderbuss and a fucking, you know, buckwheat. And he's like, I'm a hillbilly goblin. Sure, whatever. So their models were all just weird, just kind of thrown together. And then people were like, oh, you should make a miniatures game. So they like cobbled together a miniatures game using their existing model base. So of course it's a smorgasbord of random crap because that's what their models were. Just a bunch of random crap. And like I said, like the models themselves, I don't hate them. Like, I really don't. But when you put it together as a miniatures game, it's just offensive. It's like, stop.
It's like, please stop. Yeah,
stop. Stop what you're doing. Bad.
I have a couple games, but I feel kind of bad because two of the other ones I'm thinking of are discontinued. But I'm going to go to my next one that I absolutely
fire away. Discontinued
fucking
games.
Hate every time I see it. Star Trek Attack Wing. Now, I bought into this. I was like, okay, this is going to be great. This is going to be a really fun game. It's well supported. It's going to be great. That game bothers me on a level that's more so like I'm a Star Trek fan, and this is why this game like just annoys me. It's because none of the ships are to scale. Like, oh, the Enterprise.
Well, I mean, scale, you kind of got to give them a break because scale is going to be fucked up in a game they're mass producing.
No. But it's like offensively bad. Like, like you can.
Also, a lot of them are reused assets from the Clicks games.
That's exactly it. It's like they, where you have Fantasy Flights putting together all these beautiful models, and I'm just like, God damn, I'd love to play this game, but I don't fucking care about Star Wars. You know, I just don't care. I don't want to, like, why can't they do this with Trek, where they take awesome painted, like, really nice sculpts of, like, the Enterprise? I would pay $20 to have a figure of a really nicely painted Enterprise.
But it's WizKids. They don't do that.
Exactly. It's just a mistreatment of something that
I love. You got to paint it yourself. That's the thing. If you want it to look good, it's WizKids. If you want it to look good, you got to paint it yourself. That's the rule. Ugh,
I
would be more vehemently angry about the fact that they gave away the best models to the tournament winners.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
and then
just, yeah.
Spiraled into a, like, that's what killed the game.
Yeah. Well, it's still, like, the number, like, 3 or 4.
Yeah, it's
like,
still chugging,
seller,
but
it's
like, you know, it's going down.
Yeah.
It's still chugging. I mean, also, I think the rule set is completely inappropriate for Star Trek.
It is. I actually think that
I think the rule set's completely inappropriate for X-Wing, to be honest. Like, it's World War II or World War I biplane movement. So, like, your X-Wing is moving like a biplane.
Yeah, but
I people mean, don't know that because nobody played Wings of War. It was a World War I biplane game.
Who's going to play a World War I biplane game?
Exactly.
But the thing is that, you know, Lucas aped all of that World War I and World War II dogfighting stuff for X-Wing.
It's sort of
the,
but like
fighter combat anyway.
You still like the ship's bank and stuff. It's awkward. Like if you're flying in space, you just push a direction and your ship goes whoop.
I
there's no reason that you shouldn't have.
I would be okay with that just because of how Lucas filmed that for the movies. I mean, that's what he aped. I think it works fairly well for it.
Doesn't work for Star Trek though.
No. You wouldn't have like a starship moving like that. Basically, if you wanted to play that game correctly, you'd have the Enterprise at one end of the board, and you'd have like a Romulan warbird on the other end, and you just sit there and fire at each other. That's what it would be.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
When ship blows up.
Yeah. I think it's cool because it brought a lot of cool Star Trek ships to like being able to collect it. Like,
yeah,
that's cool. Like, I like being able to collect, like, you know, I actually have Deep Space Nine right there.
Well, yeah, but that Deep Space Nine is like the best thing that
they
produce.
It's fucking awesome.
The Borg Cube is pretty good too.
The Borg Cube's super sweet. I almost got that, but they didn't have it. Yeah. I was gonna get it, but they didn't have it. But yeah, it's fucking sweet. And like, there's a bunch of other cool like ships that they made.
Yeah,
and for that aspect, great. But for as a game, I just don't think Star Trek works like that.
No, it doesn't. And actually, probably the Armada rules would work a little bit better for it. I mean, granted, they don't have the fighters in Star Trek.
A modified Armada rule set would totally work for Star Trek.
Yeah.
Because that's like the slower, like plotted movements.
Yeah.
Like maybe need to be a modified version, but like that could work. Because I mean, Star Trek does have, you know, space battles, but like they don't have fighters.
Where, also, like, there needs to be like a negotiation phase.
where negotiations break down.
Yeah, where Picard has to like give his ultimatum to like Kang. You know, like that's the way it's got
to
go.
It would be pretty cool to have like a morale based system where you have like ships that can like communicate to each other.
Yeah.
So like you can like socially attack a ship instead of just blowing it up.
But that's just it. It's like WizKids saw that what Fantasy Flight was doing, and they're like, oh, this is such a they're making money off this. We have the ships too. We could just fucking do this. And then
they did it with D&D as well.
They put out garbage. Oh, that D&D one is bad too. But the most offensive thing about this is the amount of money that they think they can charge for this game. That just, it's so.
Oh, it's like $15 a ship. That's the going rate.
But you mean Star Trek, you know, Star Wars, $15 and you get a gorgeously painted ship.
Gorgeous is overselling it.
It's pretty good. It's better than probably 99.99% of the people out there could paint. And then you put this.
I mean, it's gray and it's dry brushed.
And then you have the Star Trek ships, which look like they taste of Sri Lankan tears, is what they taste of.
They would look better if they were painted the Sri Lankans.
Yeah, they're probably painted by Cambodians or something. Laotians. All right, so do you have another one?
Yeah, I mean, really, that's like my number one is just like Malifaux. It's always there. I don't. I don't have like a vehement rage against any other game like that. Like not at that level. Like there's lots of games I don't like.
What about Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yes. If you want to just say like if just games in general, not restricting it to miniatures.
Oh
games,
no, this is games in general.
Oh, then fucking absolutely Yu-Gi-Oh. Are you kidding me? Yu-Gi-Oh is a fucking cancer. Like the worst. I hate Yu-Gi-Oh.
So I was
like
I was...
Jesus, that Yu-Gi-Oh. Like I would take 20 Malifaux in exchange for Yu-Gi-Oh dying.
I was monitoring a test at my work, and this kid comes in and he's like, this kid in the hallway just gave me this sweet Yu-Gi-Oh mat. I was just like, oh, I should take a picture of that for Steve.
Fucking hate Yu-Gi-Oh, dude. It's so bad. Everything about Yu-Gi-Oh is just the worst. Oh, fuck. I can't. Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh is terrible.
But what makes Yu-Gi-Oh worse than Pokemon?
Okay, so I'll go on every level. Okay. So one, the game mechanics.
Okay.
The game mechanics of Yu-Gi-Oh! Are fucking terrible. When they first started, they were fine. Like the very first set, like they were like simple magic. You know, it was like magic except the combat tricks didn't come out of the hand. Like you had to like put them on the field first, so you would know if the other like. So you know, in magic you can counterspell. Like you try and play a card, and I go, haha, counterspell. You can't do that. So it was similar to that, except. I have to put the card face down on my side of the field.
I like how you're doing the two finger thing like they do in Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah. It's any card game anime. Oh, yeah. You have to put the card face down and then pass to you, like your turn. But when you start your turn, you see how many cards I have face down. You could be like, okay, well, he's got three cards, so he might be able to counter my spell, or he could destroy one of my monsters that I'm summoning. So like, there's a little bit of counterplay there, but it's nice because it's like it's not a total blowout. Like if you play a dude and like it gets wrecked by one of my cards, you can't be like, I didn't see that coming. You know, so there was a little bit of counterplay there, which is fine. And the game had like a pacing. Then like the game power creep was so insane. They, like, if people think, like, the 40k power creep is bad, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is, like, a light, like, fucking warp 10 in comparison. That every set that comes out, like, every new block is just so broke. The other stuff is not only invalidated, it's actually worthless. Like, the value goes to nothing. So there's no value on the secondary market because the game's mechanics are broke. And, of course, there's shenanigans. Like, just trying to wrap your... Like, I knew how to play Yu-Gi-Oh! I thought I did. I thought I knew all the rules. Turns out, I don't know fucking shit about Yu-Gi-Oh! Because, well, Yu-Gi-Oh! Has a million billion made-up rules now. And there's no reminder text. So, if you don't see... Like, if you just don't know what the card does, it's like, like, what does a synchro summon mean? I don't know. Like, Magic, when they do a new rule, they put reminder text on it. So it'll say, like, hexproof. This card cannot be targeted by spells your opponent controls. Or spells and abilities your opponent controls. It says it on the card. You're like, oh, okay. And then some cards, when they're, like, a higher rarity, they'll just say hexproof, not the reminder text. But there's still that initial card that has the reminder text. Ugh. So that's a shitter. Two, the secondary market value is fucking awful. Because card comes out, it's $300, it's a chase rare. The Konami either bans it or releases it in 6 months as a promo card or like a reprint for like a dollar. So there's no value in retaining any Yugi cards ever. It's worth nothing. It's like your cards are worth money one day and then they're worth absolutely nothing the next. There's no longevity to any of their collectability. Fucking terrible. That's the worst thing out of a collectible card game. Like there's no value there. It's just like, come on. In addition to that, the player base, they're like the most degenerate player base. Like if I'm talking to a store and they're like, oh yeah, the Yu-Gi-Oh kids came in, so like I just like they stole a whole bunch of shit. Like they steal, they leave garbage everywhere. Like they're the worst because it attracts a younger audience than most other games, but it attracts like the like perfect age demographic where they're just hooligans, right? It attracts a hooligan age demographic where it's like you've got like the 13-year-olds to 18-year-olds, give or take, and then some guys who are skew older, not many skew younger, and like they're just always hooligans. Whereas like a game like Pokemon does skew like a huge age range, so does Magic, but it's not that like compressed only people around this age.
Only people age 8 to 13 play Yu-Gi-Oh.
Right, exactly, and it's just like they're always the worst, and they're, you know. Thievery happens, like Yu-Gi-Oh! Thievery is rampant. And just to give you an idea, the only game currently that has multiple assault and weapon violations as reasons for lifetime bans is Yu-Gi-Oh. It's the only card game in existence that currently shares that feature, which is one of the reasons why I suggest not playing Force of Will, because all the people quitting Yu-Gi-Oh are moving to Force of Will.
Oh, okay.
So that's another reason strike against Force of Will. Yeah, so Yugi's fucking awful. I can't stand it. Terrible. And it's a shame because, like I said, it was a fun little game. When it came out, it was new. I was like, yeah, this game's fun. And then it like became this mess. And then, of course, it's made by Konami, who I loathe Konami. Like, Konami is a terrible company. They're the worst. I fucking hate Konami. So there's a lot of things striking against Yu-Gi-Oh! And now, in terms of Pokemon, the card game, I actually just recently got back into Pokemon, the card game, after having not played it since it came out in, you know, the 90s. Pokemon the card game plays like vintage Magic the Gathering, except in sorcery speed. So you can only do stuff on your turn. You can't do stuff on your opponent's turn. But as far as like the power level of the cards, it feels like I'm playing with thousands of dollars worth of vintage Magic cards because the cards in Pokemon are ridiculously overpowered. So it's actually pretty fun because they're like a card that would be like... Ancestral Recall, example, is like a 200 plus dollar card easily, which is pay one blue, draw three cards. Fucking broke. Super broken card. And it's at $200 is probably underselling it. It's one of the power nine. So it's, you know, it's a fortune. Only legal in vintage. You can only play one. Restricted. There's a card in Pokemon that costs nothing, draws three cards, unplayably weak. So it is the same card, but in Pokemon it is unplayably weak, and in Magic it's worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Well, I don't want to talk about Pokemon anymore. Let's talk about... I don't have many other things that I absolutely vehemently hate, but...
Hey, you asked.
I know, but I do have... Most of the mini games that I hate usually end up going under pretty quickly. All Quiet on the Martian Front. The Pre-Painted Confrontation.
That's such a shame.
Yeah.
Poor Rackham.
God damn it. Like, that just angers and upsets me.
Why? You have enough miniatures where you could relaunch the company
on
your own. I could
relaunch the company on my own. What was the other one? The AT-43, speaking of Rackham. Like, the newer AT-43. So when that free game first came out, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then that game just... took a big turd slide down the back of my underwear. But there's one game that if I see for sale, like in any used book, one RPG that if I see for sale in any RPG store or...
Is it Ironclaw?
No.
Oh.
No. It is the Wizards of the Coast D20 Star Wars system. It just... I look at that and it makes me so angry because of what they fucking did to that West End license.
Well...
One of the most... fun, not perfect, but just like well-rounded RPGs that I had in the 90s.
All I can do is throw out that they couldn't have used the West End system because they bought the license to Star Wars, not the West End role.
Well, I know that.
But on the other hand, I'd like to throw out that was actually one of the best D20 rule sets around.
Oh, it is. It is. No, it's like if the rule set is great, because I'm sure they reuse that engine on a lot of different things.
Actually, Star Wars was unique in many ways. One of the best things about it is that it introduced the concept of criticals cutting through vitality. So instead of having hit points, you had vitality, which are the same thing as hit points, except you had two scores. You had vitality and you had your hit points. Hit points were equal to your constitution. So if you're con 12, you have 12 HP.
Yeah.
And your vitality is whatever your class is. So, like, Jedi has, like, you know, you start with 20 and you get D8 plus your constitution modifier per level. So, like, say you're level 5, you'll have, like, 44 vitality and 10 hit points. When you do a critical in that Star Wars game, instead of doing double damage or whatever, you just bypass the vitality and do damage straight to hit points.
The problem is...
Which is, I mean, fantastic. Like, that's a great modification to D20.
The problem with that system overall is that it was Jedi heavy, and it was based solely on the prequels.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars.
Fuck that shit.
Sure. I don't give a fuck about the Star Wars part. I'm just talking about, like, pure mechanics.
Well, yeah.
Mechanics were good.
I don't give a shit about mechanics.
That's what I care about.
I want to roleplay as a smuggler going across the galaxy.
Hey, your smuggler just got killed by a Jedi. I don't open a character.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Fuck that. All right. Do you have anything else that you hate? Because we're running low on time.
I don't know. Everything. We can. You know what? We'll pick it up on the next cast. That's what we'll start with.
Other shit that we hate. No, I pretty much, I'm exhausted on like the shit that I really hate. Oh,
I've got an unending amount. I can just, I'll just keep.
Especially
going.
If I open it up to RPGs and card games.
Yeah. If you, that's it. If you pigeonhole me in miniatures games, I really just got Malifaux. But like, if we're going into the board game RPG, like we're going there, man, this could be our first 9-hour podcast.
BattleTech. Have you ever rolled a fucking character in BattleTech?
BattleTech. Why?
Why? We haven't done that in a while.
We just did.
Oh, there was the guys who were doing that 15mm sci-fi game, the robot mech game. They were at Adepticon. I can't remember the name of it, but that was actually pretty cool. I got to see that being
game.
Yeah, they just released. Osprey just released the rules. Osprey was there, kind of in force with like a bunch of their mini sets and rules
and
all that. They're you'd like a lot of their stuff. It's all smally skirmishy stuff.
All right.
All right, so go to PlanetArbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can find me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve on the Game Classy Facebook page /Game Classy Podcast. You could also like, comment, and subscribe to our Game Classy YouTube channel. On the YouTube channel, you not only get Game Classy, but you also get Comic Book Logic, one of our sister podcasts hosted by myself with my co-host Kevin, where we talk about comic book movies. We just finished Batman v Superman, if you're interested in hearing what we had to say about that. 2.5 hours on that movie we spent.
Right,
almost then. As long as the movie itself. We're going to do 300 next, so you'll see that next weekend. You can also help out our podcast on iTunes. You like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. And another thing that you can, another podcast you can check out is Patch Retro View Game Review Podcast, aka the Play On Podcast, where Steve and Pat B of Pat B's Retro Video Game Review Podcast talk about video games, mostly about why Nintendo is changing their logo. Did you guys spend a lot of time talking about that, Steve? No, not at all. Okay. Steve's just shaking his head. He doesn't want to talk about Nintendo.
I'm saving that for a different podcast. You may have heard of it.
Is it Patch Retro Video Game Review Podcast, a.k.a. Play On?
Maybe.
And I don't know. Pat just bought a new house, so he's going to have to... He's going to get the whole video game room taken care of now. I'm excited about that. I've been telling him because his house currently has like a massive... The house he was renting had a massive basement. And he was like, I don't want to put my stuff down there. It's going to get wet. And I'm like... Okay, it's like you're on a hill, so I don't think that's gonna happen. But okay, and then he buys a house, and he's like, "I'm gonna put this up in the basement." Like, I think that was a kaiju just came out of you.
It's true.
I'm
ready to be attacked by a giant robot. Gypsy Danger's coming for me.
By the way, there's a comic book character out there. His name is American Kaiju, and he's just like a big Godzilla looking guy with a big American flag painted on his chest. And he just goes, USA!
I think it'd be you as a kaiju.
Probably. So, Steve, until next time.
Her, I'm breaking up with you. Me. Is it because I say, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs, when things go wrong? Her. Yeah. Me. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Game Classy.